Well, this morning we're going to continue the series that Pastor Jarrett started last week, Fight for What Matters. And as we do, we're going to look at what God's Word has to say when it comes to fighting temptation. That's our title. If you're taking notes, Fighting Temptation. And if you've got your Bible, go ahead and open with me to Matthew chapter 4. And as you're opening, join me in watching this quick video.
Just look at me. You can have fruit snacks, but you can't have them right now, okay?
You gotta wait.
You gotta wait until mommy and daddy come back, okay? You can't eat these yet. You gotta wait until we come back. I'm gonna leave them right here. Don't touch them. Wait, okay? We're gonna come back. Don't eat them yet. Don't eat them. We'll be right back. We just gotta go get something. Just go. Just wait a second.
And that kid's got the greatest smile ever, but they never stood a chance, right? That they weren't strong enough. They did not have the willpower. The fruit snacks were sitting right there, and it was so, so tempting. And you might be thinking this morning, hey, big deal. I could sit down at that table all day long and not touch a fruit snack. And you might be right, but I'm right when I say this. None of us are as strong as we think we are when it comes to temptation. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. The reality is, because of the world that we live in, we're all going to be tempted in ways that are very dangerous to our lives and to our souls. Jesus was tempted, we're going to be tempted, and we're going to study temptation this morning, Matthew 4, verse 1, the temptation of Jesus. God's word says this, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Pause there and just know the first two verses are really setting the scene for us. Jesus has just been baptized by John the Baptist, and now he is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. This is one of the great miracles of the incarnation. We've got Jesus fully God, fully man. Now he's being led by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, by the way, that leads you each and every day if you're a follower of Christ. And at the end of his time of fasting, look at verse 2. It's been 40 days. He's hungry, right? We would be as well. And that's when the devil shows up. And that's when the temptation begins. And Jesus, being led by the Holy Spirit, and the devil are about to go head to head, right? This is going to be a battle of temptation here. And before we unpack it, I want you to think about something. They both have a goal. They both have a goal. What's the devil's goal for your life? What's our Savior's goal for your life? Jesus outlines it clearly in John 10:10 when he says this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil's goal for your life is destruction, right? He is trying to do maximum damage, maximum harm to your heart, to your soul, and to your life. Jesus goes on to say, but I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus is clear. His goal is abundant life, eternal life. I need that. You need that. And we can all have it because of Jesus. The devil's one goal, destruction. We need to remember that. Matt Carter says it like this. We think about our sin in terms of a struggle rather than a life or death issue. And he's right. We do think about it like that. And that's a problem. So as we look at temptation this morning, we need to understand how serious the temptation that we face on a daily basis actually is. Because the mission of the devil with every temptation you face is to ruin your heart and to rob you of the greatest treasure you could ever taste on this earth, and that is the goodness of God. Look at verse 3. The tempter came and said to Jesus, if, circle that, underline it, we're gonna come back to it. That's a big word in this passage. If you are the Son of God, well then command these stones to become loaves of bread, right? If you are the Son of God, is he? Is Jesus the Son of God? How do you know? Got a little quieter with that one. That's okay, I'll tell you, just look back, one chapter. Look at chapter 3. How does chapter 3 end if your Bible's open? Chapter 3, verse 17. A voice comes down from heaven saying to Jesus, "You are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased." So God's just spoken. He has opened the heavens and declared Jesus is the Son of God. And then in verse 3, the devil says, "If you are, well, then make the stones become bread." Jesus answers in verse 4, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So if you are the Son of God, well, we know that he's the Son of God. Jesus knows who he is as the Son of God. But don't miss this strategy of the devil, because he uses it on us too. The devil takes what God has spoken. All right, God's loud and clear here. He has spoken, right? And the devil takes what God has spoken, the words of God, and he works really hard to get us to begin to doubt the word of God in our lives. J.D. Greer says it like this: Satan puts a question mark in your life where God has placed the period. Well, when you face temptation, you got to understand who you are. Or if you've placed your faith in Christ, when you face temptation, you can remember that you are a child of God. That's a big lesson here. Jesus is the Son of God, and as children of God, man, we can turn to him when we're tempted. We're going to see Jesus tempted in several ways in this passage. We've already seen one. He's tempted in the area of provision, right, of just having what he needs. He's tempted with food, right? We're tempted in that same way, right? We're just tempted to do what we can to have what we need, whether that's finances or comfort or worldly items we think that we can't begin to live without. Jesus in this moment is tempted to provide bread when he's hungry. You might be thinking, what's wrong with that? It's a good question. Listen, sometimes when we're tempted, the action itself isn't necessarily wrong. Sometimes the issue is the motive or the heart behind it. The devil's trying to get Jesus to take a shortcut here rather than trusting in God to provide. Sometimes the temptation is the devil trying to get us to move at the wrong time or for the wrong reason. Jesus resists, and how does he do it? He resists by quoting scripture. Look at verse 4. Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So as Jesus says that phrase, "it is written," he is pointing to the full authority of God and to the full authority of the word of God. And it's written, by the way, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, where Moses is bringing a message from God to the people of Israel that they should trust God more than the manna God is providing for them daily. This is all about trusting God to provide. Will Jesus trust or not? Here we see Jesus trusting God. Question is, do we? Look at verse 5. It says, "Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If,'" there it is again, "'if you are the Son of God, well, throw yourself down. For it is written," okay, the devil's using that phrase now, "'it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Verse 7. "Jesus said to him," again, "'it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Now, Jesus first is tempted with provision, and now he's tempted with protection. And I want you to take careful note of the words of the devil right here. Again, he questions Jesus' identity as the Son of God, and now he is questioning what God has spoken by using the words of Scripture. Right? Jesus had been answering the devil with the word of God, and so the devil decides to bring the words of God into temptation, just like he did with Adam and Eve way back in the Garden of Eden, when the enemy said, "Did God not say?" Think about this for a minute. Satan knows Scripture. He knows what this says. And here, what he does is he takes part of Psalm 91 and he distorts it as he comes to Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're told to put on what? The full armor of God. Why? So we can take our stand against what? Against the schemes of the devil. I want you to see here that distorting and twisting the words of God, that is a scheme of the devil. He used it right here with Jesus. And I can promise you, as the enemy knows the word of God, he knows the power the word of God has in the life of believers, he wants to do anything that he can to get us to doubt it, to question it, to turn from it, to twist it, or to pervert it. We all hear the same messages every day. I know we do. The enemy's using people in our world today to share half-truths from the Bible to advance their cause or to advance their agenda, just like the devil does with Jesus here. We hear messages every day that they might sound good, messages that might cause us to lean in just a little bit. Messages that start in the Word of God and then get twisted with the sole intent of leading people astray. I caution you this morning, be careful around people who quote the Bible but don't live it. Be careful around people that speak the Word of God, their mouths, and don't let it show up in their lives. Don't fall for cheap or twisted imitations, right? Know the Word of God. Think about that for a minute. Sometimes the enemy's most effective work in our life and the life of a believer is to get us so distracted that we begin to turn away from or forget the Word of God on a regular basis. It could be that the temptations that Satan is lobbing your way, they don't have anything to do with adultery or stealing or lying or murder or lust. Maybe those things would be too obvious for you. So slow down for a minute. Think about your life. Because so often that the greatest temptation, the seemingly innocent little distractions that cause us to ignore the Word of God. I bet for over 80% of the people in this room, the first thing you did, the first thing you touched this morning when you woke up was your cell phone. It's your alarm clock, right? It starts making noise. You reached over and you turned it off. And a lot of people don't stop there, right? A lot of people day in and day out, they reach over, they turn it off. And then they look at messages that came in the night before. Maybe they catch up on emails. Maybe they read articles. Maybe they check out the news. Maybe they get on social media and they scroll. And here's what happens. Before too long, and they look up and a lot of time's gone by. They look at the clock and they think, oh, I got to get to it. And they rush through the rest of their morning and they've left no time to be alone with the Father. No time for prayer. No time for the Word of God. Our lives are fast paced. They're full of distractions, and again, sometimes the enemy's greatest temptation is simply the distractions that he puts in front of us. So pay attention. Here, Jesus is tempted with this distorted promise of protection. And the temptation here was to let his circumstances bring meaning to the Word of God rather than the Word of God bringing meaning to his circumstances, and that's backwards, and Jesus knew it. And so he answers with scripture again, this time from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he quotes it saying, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Here we see the devil quoting scripture, but Jesus living it out. Verse 8, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to him, I'll give all these to you if you'll fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Verse 11, then the devil left Jesus, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Third, right here, we see the devil tempting Jesus with power. Shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and says, this could all be yours if you'll just bow to me. And that desire for control, that desire for power, that desire to have it all, has been a temptation for mankind ever since the Garden of Eden. And that's what the devil's promising here. And Jesus does not entertain it for a second. He understands that it doesn't matter what the promise is behind the temptation. If it means that we have to trade obedience to God for it, it's going to lead to spiritual death and not spiritual life. Think about what Satan's offering here. He's telling Jesus, Jesus, you can have the crown without enduring the cross. That wasn't God's plan for his life. God had already promised that the Messiah, that Jesus, that he would be lifted up, that he would wear the crown, that he would have it all, that every knee would bow to him in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. But remember, Jesus came as the Son of God to live and to die so that we could all become sons and daughters of God. God's promise to lift Jesus up was going to happen after the cross. We can read all about that in Philippians chapter 2. So to follow the words of Satan here over God would derail God's plan for Jesus's life, which, by the way, is exactly what the devil is trying to do with him and what he's trying to do with you and me every single day. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's his goal. Jesus answered that lie with the truth from the Word. Look at verse 8. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Where is it written? Deuteronomy 6:13. He is quoting the true words of God, and Jesus is resting right there on that. There's a real spiritual truth in this third temptation, and that's this. Crowns that come through disobedience come at a very high price. Jesus said in Mark 8:36, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul to get there? Temptation's serious. It is the mission of the devil to ruin our hearts and to rob us of the goodness of God. Three times Jesus is tempted. Three times he resists temptation. He remains obedient to God the Father. But look at the end of verse 11. It says the devil departed from him. And we read in another gospel that the devil departed him until when? Until an opportune time. So this isn't the final time that Jesus is going to be tempted in his life. And that's a great reminder for us. We're going to be tempted. And when we stand, guess what? We're going to be tempted again at another time. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober-minded, be watchful. You've got an adversary, the devil, and he is on the prowl like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So what do? Verse 9, resist him, right? Resist the devil and stand firm in your faith. The enemy is going to bring temptation our way, a goal to devour, a goal to destroy. Jesus, on the other hand, seeks to bring life, and he perfectly resists temptation here. And as we strive to follow in his footsteps, we have some lessons that we can pull from this text. I want to share three of those lessons with you this morning. And the first is this. I don't think I have to say it, but I'm going to say it just so we're all clear on this. Lesson one is this. The devil will tempt you. Plan on it. Count on it. Be ready for it. Do not be surprised by it. It doesn't matter who you are, who your parents are. It doesn't matter how long you have been walking with Jesus. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter your position in the church. It doesn't matter what Bible study you teach week in and week out. It doesn't matter what you know in God's word. All of us will be tempted. We've got to understand that. And we've also got to understand that we're not tempted by a devil like in a red suit with a pitchfork. Right, that's not how he's going to show up to us. He's not going to make the temptation look bad. He's going to make it look good. What does he show up offering to Jesus? Food, protection, power, right? All good scenarios, but with evil intentions. Temptation looks good, but there's always a hook that comes with it. My kids and I love to fish, right? That's our hobby. We do it as often as we can, and we catch a lot of fish. I want to ask you this morning, how do you think we catch a lot of fish? There were way more fishermen in the 9:30 service, I'll just say that. We catch a lot of fish by getting them to eat plastic. Think about that, right? We get the fish to eat plastic. Why do they eat it? It's not in their food chain. Right? It's not a natural thing that they crave. It's not the way that they God wired them or designed them. They eat that plastic because we make it look good. Right? We make it dance a certain way in the water that when the sun hits this, there's sparkles on it. It reflects. It is appealing to their eye. And when a fish goes and bites it, what does he find inside? Finds a hook. And you know what that hook does to the fish? That hook takes the fish somewhere they never intended and somewhere they never wanted to go. The enemy is going to tempt you, and he's going to make it look very good. He knows where you're vulnerable. He knows what you like. He knows what you crave. And he's going to dangle it in front of you. You need to remember that there's always a hook. You're going to be tempted. That temptation doesn't make you unique. It just makes you human. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Temptation is common. Have no fear. God is faithful. Understand that temptation isn't the sin. Giving in to temptation is the sin. Martin Luther gives us a great visual when he said, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from building a nest in your hair. Don't let it land on you. Tell them to keep moving. All right, God provides a way out, a way to resist. How does Jesus resist? That's lesson two. Fight temptation with truth. Fight it with the truth. Well, we have to be able to spot the lie. Sometimes it's obvious, right? Have you ever gotten an email and you opened it up and you knew immediately it was a scam? Right? You just saw it. You saw right through it. One of the first emails that I ever saw like that, I remember seeing when I was in college. And it was from supposedly a dethroned prince in Nigeria. Maybe some of you remember this email. And what he said was this: I've got hundreds of millions of dollars, but I have no way to sneak it out of the country. So reply to this email with your name and your social security number, your bank account info, and your password. And what I'll do is I'll send you all the money. And when I get to the U.S., we can split it down the middle, 50-50. You're thinking, who in the world would fall for that? Well, came out when I was in college. A lot of people fell for it. So many that one of my professors had to stop a class and say, hey guys, listen, this email's going around. And so far, millions of dollars have been stolen just from people in College Station alone. You gotta be careful. And as I say that, I know there's an Aggie joke somewhere in there. But the reality is this: we gotta spot the lie, right? Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not, but spot it and then what? Fight it with the truth. Jesus did three times. Every time the lie was presented, he answered with truth. Truth straight from the Word of God. It's a huge part of this for us. We have to know the truth so that we can bring it into every temptation we face. Remember the devil's playbook. He's trying to create doubt. He's trying to create doubt about what God has said, about what God has declared. He's trying to make us question what God has said. We can stand strong in those moments of temptation when we confidently know what the Lord has said. A lot of you know this verse. I'm going to share it anyway. Psalm 119:11 says this: I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let me ask you this morning, how much of God's word do you have stored up in your heart? If you were gonna sit there, like get out a piece of paper and a pen and just start writing it down. Writing down the verses that you know. Writing down the biblical truth that you know. Writing down the stories, right, that you know. How, what do you know? Listen, memorizing, locking God's word into our heart, that is a discipline that we have to embrace as believers. If you were experiencing God here with Pastor Jarrett this semester, every week you had a memory verse, right? You had a verse that you could take with you, that you could memorize, that you could lock God's word into your heart and mind. And I'm telling you now, if you did that, here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna face moments in life. You're gonna face trouble in life. Maybe even when you face temptation in life, the Holy Spirit is gonna bring those verses that you have locked in your heart. He's gonna bring them to you exactly when you need them. Memorize God's word and fight the lies of temptation with the truth of the Word of God. Let the Word of God shape your heart, your mind, and your life. When temptation comes, you'll be ready. Listen, parents, let me say this. Grandparents, let me say this. Your kids are about to be out of school, right? They've got the summer off. I wanna encourage you, right? Do this summer. Right, make up a list of verses that you want your kids to store in their heart and then get after it, get on it. Right, they can understand algebra, they can understand physics, they read all kinds of books all year long in school. They can open up, know, understand the Bible and then store God's word in their heart. Do that this summer, make a plan right now. Some of you are nodding your head. Don't just nod your head and think that's a good idea. Look at your husband or your wife and say, we're doing that. And then make a plan this summer to invest spiritually the word of God in your kid's heart. Store it up in their heart so that they're ready when the time comes. Because the cool reality of it is this: if they spend the summer, if you as a family spend the summer, right, really soaking up God's word and really locking it away in your heart, every time you open the Bible, every time you come to the next verse to memorize, you know what you're gonna see? You're gonna see who you are in Christ. You're going to see that you are a child of God. Look back at those temptations, those first couple of verses. And so much of this is about identity. What did the devil keep saying? He kept saying, if you are the Son of God. Well, of course he was. The heavens opened up and God declared it, right? That's the passage. Jesus is the Son of God. He knew that he was the Son of God and we can trust in him. And if you have trusted in him, listen, you too are a child of God. And that's our third lesson this morning. We can fight temptation by remembering who we are. Just remember who you are. It's a child of God. When you remember who you are, when those moments of trouble come, when those moments of temptation come your way, your instinct, your desire, what you are going to crave more than what you are tempted with is to draw close to God. All right, but if your battle plan is just to grit your teeth and to muscle through it on your own, I'm telling you, you're gonna miss it, right? We fight temptation by remembering who and whose we are. I mean, scripture literally says that we are in the hand of the Father. So Jesus here, knowing that, he's able to go to the Word and cling to the truth because he was clinging to God. Right, this scripture memory for him, it wasn't an academic exercise. It wasn't just a memorization tool. It was flowing from the personal relationship that he had with his heavenly Father. Look at Hebrews 4, verse 15 says this. We don't have a high priest. This is speaking of Jesus. We don't have a high priest that's unable to sympathize with us in our weakness, but one who in every respect, he's been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us with confidence then draw near to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When we're tempted, draw near to the throne of grace. You're going to find mercy there and you're going to find help there. Who sits on the throne of grace? Jesus does, right? The devil sits on a throne of lies. Jesus sits on a throne of grace. And as his children, we can draw near to it. And look at Hebrews, by the way. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that we can draw near to Jesus with confidence. So when you're tempted, when the devil begins to question who you are, your identity, your worth, when the devil brings up those past mistakes where you have bitten that hook and where it has hurt you and those around you, I want to encourage you, fight back. Tell him you know who you are. You know who God has declared you to be as a child of God and run to Jesus. The reality is this, we can't run from temptation without running to God. Oh, we got nowhere else to go. I've got three kids, all boys. A lot of wrestling matches, a lot of fighting in our house. When my youngest was smaller, well, I say that, it happened yesterday. What he would do is he would go and pick a fight with one of his older brothers, a fight that he could not win. And the moment that he realized it was a fight he couldn't win, you know what he'd do? He'd run. You know where he'd run to? Not his room. There's nobody there to help him. He wouldn't run outside. He's not fast enough to get away down the street. Every single time when he would face that kind of trouble, he would run to me. He'd run to his dad for protection. It's a big lesson here. You've got a heavenly Father. Run to him. I said it up front. It doesn't matter who you are. It does not matter who you are this morning. You are not as strong as you think you are. When that trouble comes, we know that it will, run to Jesus. He's the one that can give you victory over every temptation you face. And listen, I understand there's a lot of practical tools. There's a lot of lessons. There's a lot of discussions that we could bring into this when it comes to fighting temptation. But honestly, if those tools don't flow from who we are, our identity in Christ, all we're doing when we pick them up is we are spinning our wheels and setting ourselves up for frustration, right? Let every tool, let every strategy flow from who you are. You are a child of God. And now that we know that, let me just give you three tools before we close when it comes to fighting temptation. The first is this, prepare beforehand. Right, get ready ahead of time by making specific covenants before God. You know what tempts you, right? You know where you're vulnerable. You know where you might be weak. Get specific with God about it. Go to him now. Say, God, this is what I'm going to do in my life. And Job 31, he does this for us. He makes a covenant with his eyes not to look upon anything that would cause him to lust. He is specific, knowing where he might be tempted, and he makes a covenant with God beforehand. If you have an area where you struggle, get specific with God about it. Don't just say, I'm going to try to do better. Get specific with the Lord. Here's an example. If you struggle with greed or materialism, right? You just keep buying more and more and more for yourself in an unhealthy or an unholy way, make a covenant before God. Say something like, God, the rest of this month, anytime I feel that desire coming on, rather than spend money on myself, I'm going to look around for someone in my community or in my church family that's in need, and I'm going to spend the money on them. I'm going to bless them instead. We're fighting temptation and we're living out the word of God all at the same time. You see how that works? Get specific with the Lord about where you struggle. Maybe you struggle with lust. Maybe that's a temptation for you. Get specific before God today. Don't just say, I'm going to try to do better. Make a commitment that, God, I'm not going to be alone with a screen that might cause me to stumble. Be specific. Be intentional. And while I'm on that thought, parents and students, but everyone really, but especially parents and parents of students, I heard an illustration years ago from Proverbs 7 about temptation just like this, the temptation to lust. I'm going to read a few verses and then I want to share that illustration for you. And it has stuck with me for years, and I'm praying that this same illustration would stick with you as you raise your kids to know and love Jesus. Proverbs 7 verse 6 says this, at the window of my house, I've looked out through my lattice, and I've seen the simple, and I perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense. Verse 10, and behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart, and she seizes him and kisses him. And the rest of Proverbs 7 goes on to give us this great warning against the adulteress that would tempt us and try to lead us away from the Lord and into sexual sin. Parents, we have to be careful when it comes to this, right? In the physical world, we do a pretty good job of watching over our kids. We know where they're at. For the most part, we know what they're doing. We've got Life 360 on their phones. We can track them. We can see them. We can follow them. We know who they're around. And so more than likely, they're not going to encounter a prostitute in the streets like we see here in Proverbs 7. But here's the reality. If we're not paying attention to what's going on with them online, we are opening the door for her to come right into our house. We are opening the door for her to come right into their bedroom through their phones, through their screens, through what they're watching on TV. Parents, do not turn a blind eye to this. Don't assume that things are going the way you think they are going. Pay attention and get specific here. Get specific to help your kids battle a temptation that the enemy is using to try to rob them of the goodness of God. Tool number two. This is for in the moment, right? Pray for strength. Pray for strength. And you can pray this verse, Psalm 119:37. It says, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your way. We have an enemy, steal, kill, and destroy. We have a Savior that's come to give us life. When you are tempted, let this be part of your prayer life. It is just so easy to say, Lord, turn my eyes from worthless things. I know these are things that are going to lead me away from you. I know these are things that have a hook in them that will lead to destruction. And instead, give me life by helping me to look upon and live according to your ways. And then finally, tool number three, recover by repenting quickly. Repent quickly. Spent 30 minutes talking about fighting and standing up to temptation. Why would I put repentance there? Well, it's because you're not perfect and neither am I. There's going to be those days, those moments where we bite that hook and it hurts us. And it hurts those around us. And I want to encourage you, do not let it spiral. Do not let sin snowball in your life. When you fall to temptation, turn to God for forgiveness quickly and continue to walk with Him. It's like that little kid running back to the Father, back to the throne of grace. And listen, Hebrews chapter 4 was written for people just like you and me, people that are going to mess up. And in Hebrews 4, it tells us that we can, even when we mess up, even when those hooks are in our mouths causing pain to those around us, pain in our lives, Hebrews 4 tells us that we can draw near to the throne of grace confidently, confidently that the Father will draw us near. If you fall, don't beat yourself up. Let the Lord pick you up and keep going, knowing that you are forgiven. 1 John 1:9, what does it say? If we confess our sins, God's faithful. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the key for us as believers. When we're tempted, we can follow the example of Jesus, standing firm as children of God, clinging to Him as our Heavenly Father. We can defeat temptation that comes into our life by holding fast to the truth of the gospel. Would you pray with me this morning?
Thank you for joining us for Champion Forest Online. We hope today's message encouraged and inspired you. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We would love the opportunity to get to know you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. We're so glad you joined us today, and we'll see you again next time.